Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's podcast, as published on Wednesday the 10th of April 2024, is read to you by volunteers Corey, Hunter, Ian, Philip and Rebecca.
Our hearts are broken. The daughter of a missing Lindsay woman says her heart has been ripped apart after it was confirmed her mother had died. The body of missing 58-year-old Angela Keenan was found within a car in the Parkhead area of Glasgow on Sunday afternoon. Police Scotland said the body had been formally identified as that of Angela, who had been reported missing last week. Her disappearance last Tuesday, April 2nd, led to a frantic appeal for information from the worried family and friends. However, they have this week told of their heartbreak after Angela's body was found. Taking to social media, daughter Erin McGowan wrote, "We have found my mum this afternoon. Unfortunately, she has passed away. We are absolutely devastated, but thank you to everyone who continually shared my post, came out to search and sent messages. My heart has been ripped apart." It is understood that Angela's mother had recently passed away, which left the family enduring the hardest times of her lives. Also taking to social media to thank those who helped search for Angela, sister Lorraine Keenan said she hoped she was with her mother once more. Lorraine wrote, "Our beautiful, amazing sister is not with us anymore. She is back with our precious mum. Our hearts are completely broken into pieces. My heart hurts so much, a pain I never thought was possible. Hope you are in Mum's arms, Angie." Police said there do not appear to be any suspicious circumstances surrounding the death. Read by Rebecca.
This week in history. April the 12th, 1954. Bill Haley recorded Rock Around the Clock, the first record to sell a million in Britain alone. It was featured in 14 films and recorded in 35 languages. On this day last year, University of Cambridge scientists designed a robotic hand that could grasp objects and not drop them, using just the movement of its wrist and the feeling in its skin. April 13th, 1852. Frank Winfield Woolworth, merchant and founder of the chain store, was born in New York. On this day last year, British milliner Justin Smith of J. Smith Esquire made a replica of St. Edward's crown made using 319 Scrabble pieces in homage to the upcoming coronation and the popular word game's 75th anniversary. April 14th, 1931, the Ministry of Transport issued the first highway code. On this day last year, a plan of the Titanic used in the inquiry into the sinking of the ship in 1912 was set to go under the hammer at auction. April 15th, 1966, Time magazine voted London the City of the Decade. On this day last year, a passenger bus carrying dozens of members of a music troupe fell into a gorge in western India, killing 13 people and injuring 29 others. April 16, 1951. The British submarine Affray sank in the English Channel with a loss of 75 lives. Hyde Park Complex is welcomed. A fantastic new community sports complex has opened in Lennoxtown, marking a significant investment by Eastern Partnershire Council. Lennoxtown Hyde Park is the result of a multi-million pound project to transform an underused sports field into a state-of-the-art all-weather sports pitch. Councillor Paul Ferretti, Council Convener of Place, Neighbourhood and Corporate Assets, welcomed the completion of the £4.3 million sports facility. He told the Herald, "I'm delighted to see this project come to fruition and now open for the people of the wider Campsie area to enjoy. It's been a long-haired plan to have a sports facility such as this in the area and it looks fantastic. This community asset represents a major capital investment in the village and I know it will be well used by local clubs. The project has been delivered on budget, and I am pleased to see bookings open in time for the Easter holidays." At its official opening, Councillor Ferretti was joined by kids and representatives from Campsie Black Watch Juniors, Campsie Minerva, AFC and Campsie FC. The original grass playing fields have been replaced by a single 3G AstroTurf pitch, allowing it to be used throughout the year as opposed to previously restricted during use during the winter months. The existing single-storey pavilion has been extended to increase capacity and now boasts two new additional changing rooms, as well as toilet and shower facilities and an equipment store. Other improvements to the site include drainage and ground retention works to help with standing surface water issues and floodlighting to the pitch. Spectator standing areas have also been included, with additional parking and associated street lighting also. Eastern Bartonshire Council worked with Public Sector Procurement Specialist SCAPE Scotland and contractor Morgan Sindhall to deliver the project. Rachel Park from SCAPE Scotland told us, "This is an important asset for the people of Lennoxtown and we are proud to have been involved in the delivery of the project." Stuart Parker, Managing Director of Morgan Sindhall, added, "It's a privilege to deliver this first-class sports facility that will play a key part in improving the health and well-being of people in Lennoxtown. By renovating the previous facility, it will breathe fresh life into the area and encourage people to stay fit and active. Handing over the sports complex just in time for the Easter holidays is great, and we can't wait for people to enjoy everything it has to offer. We'd like to thank Eastern Bartonshire Council for trusting us to deliver an inclusive, outstanding asset that will benefit everyone in the community now and for years to come. The completed facility is owned by the council, but will be managed and operated by Eastern Bartonshire Leisure Centre." And that article was read by me, Ian McKenna. MP demands justice for WSPI women in Eastern Bartonshire. Amy Callaghan has challenged both Rishi Sunak and Sir Keir Starmer to deliver a cast iron guarantee to compensate the 5,980 WSPI, that's Women Against State Pension Inequality, women in Eastern Bartonshire. The SNP MP has warned that a failure to do so would be a betrayal to the women in Scotland who have been so badly let down by Westminster. Following the publication of the Parliamentary and Health Service Ombudsman report, both the Tories and Labour Party have repeatedly failed to give a guarantee that their parties will honour Westminster's responsibility to provide justice and fully compensate the estimated 3.6 million Women Against State Pension Equality, WSPI, women. An estimated 5,980 have been impacted in Eastern Bartonshire, with over 342,000 impacted across Scotland. Ms Callaghan told the Herald, "Rishi Sunak and Sir Keir Starmer must give a cast iron guarantee to the WASPI women in Eastern Bartonshire that they will be fully compensated for this huge Westminster scandal. For too long, women in my constituency have been silenced, but no longer. The report could not have been clearer. the WSPI women were failed, and they were failed by Westminster. So whether it's Rishi Sunak or Sir Keir Starmer that enters number 10 after the next general election, both political leaders must now commit to fully compensating the millions of women who have been let down by the system. A failure to do so will be a betrayal to the women in Scotland who have been so badly let down by Westminster.
Permission granted for a new Bishopriggs school as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Planning permission has been granted for a replacement school in Bishopriggs. Councillors gave the go-ahead to proposals to replace a primary school building in the town. East Dunbartshire Council's Planning Committee unanimously approved proposals for a new Balmuldy Primary School in the Early Years Centre. The bill will also see the creation of additional car parking and will allow for landscaping work to be carried out following the demolition of the existing buildings which date back to the 1960s. The new two-storey school would also feature a drop-off and pick-up area, separate parking for staff and visitors, an MUGA games pitch, with the ground floor featuring the early years centres, offices, a dining area and gym, while upstairs would include an outdoor terrace, general purpose rooms and a staff room with classrooms on both levels. The council received comments from 20 nearby residents who highlighted concerns over the proximity of the school to their homes, potential noise issues overshadowing. These complaints were considered and addressed by planning officers, but ultimately the application was recommended for approval by the committee, subject to a list of 19 conditions, many of which will need to be fulfilled before any construction work can begin. Several of these conditions are intended to protect the amenity of neighbouring residents.
Outdoor centre is approved. Plans have been approved for an innovative, community-run facility in East Dunbartonshire, with work set to begin soon. Twecker Outdoor Pursuit Centre will breathe new life into a vacant site beside the Forth and Clyde Canal, creating a base for canoeing, kayaking, cycling, social activities and more. It will also provide a hub for new educational, training and voluntary opportunities, helping to promote regeneration and address disadvantage in the area. East Dunbartonshire Council has secured significant external support, including the Scottish Government's Regeneration Capital Grant Fund, Sport Scotland and others. Construction is due to start in early summer 2024, with completion around spring 2025. The facility will then be leased to a third-party community operator. The project was granted planning approval at the end of March and is part of East Dunbartonshire Council's capital programme for 2024-2025. Councillor Gordon Lowe, leader of East Dunbartonshire Council, told the Herald, "I'm pleased we've been able to move forward with Twecker Outdoor Pursuit Centre and look forward to us delivering a first-class facility for residents of the village and East Dunbartonshire. Not only will it bring a long vacant site at the canal back into use, it will provide opportunities for people of all ages and abilities, supporting the aims of the Twecker Place Plan. Community involvement has helped to secure significant external funding and will remain at the heart of the project as it comes to fruition. The development site is owned by the council and sits adjacent to the Forth and Clyde Canal, just off Main Street, at the northern entrance to Twecker. The project is expected to cost just over £5.6 million, more than half of which will be external funding. The main contractor is Morgan Sindel, and the project will be delivered as part of the SCAPE framework. Of the project, Kirkintilloch Councillor Pamela Marshall said, "This will be an outstanding centre providing a wide range of water sports and further strengthens our connection to the canal network." Lindsay Store is approved. A shop in Lindsay has been granted two licensing applications despite objections from a nearby resident. Lindsay Convenience Store was approved for a provisional premises license and an occasional license by East Dunbartonshire's Licensing Board after members heard from both the applicant, Dudu Toure, and objector Craig Hunter. None of the Licensing Board's statutory partners objected to the application, with Mr. Hunter representing the only opposition. He complained of inconsiderate and illegal parking by customers on the junction, footpaths, and in the nearby bus bay, obstructing visibility and creating hazards for users of prams and wheelchairs. Mr. Hunter also claimed the shop did not properly manage waste, resulting in problems with litter, and when different owners of the shop had sold alcohol, this led to issues with underage drinking in Glenhead Road. Mr. Tourie said he had engaged a traffic consultant who repeatedly observed issues with parking, which were caused by residents rather than visitors to the shop, that he would erect a sign alerting customers to the parking problems, and he also made sure that no staff parked in front of the shop. Mr. Tourie also said the bins in front of the shop were not used for food waste, and his boxes were too large to be put in them. Instead, these items were removed on a daily basis, and he was making inquiries about a waste management contract with either the council or a private operator. He also said that he picked litter from outside the front door of the shop each morning. On the subject of young drinkers, he said this was not a problem he or his staff were aware of, and these concerns had no factual basis. He added that no complaints had been made by licensing officers or the police when the shop had operated with an occasional license through December 2023, with Challenge 25 being fully enforced. The requested off-sales license was for a sales area of 14 square metres, which would operate from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m, and it was noted that Lindsay South has a relatively low alcohol-related health harms compared to the Scottish average. After further deliberations, both applications were unanimously granted.
Stores can now deliver booze. Several stores in East Martinshire have been given approval to deliver alcohol by the council. East Martinshire Council granted permission to Co-op stores to deliver products containing alcohol to customers. The local licensing board agreed to change the licences for six outlets located in Lenzie, Bearsden, Lennoxtown and Milton of Campsie, and also permitted the playing of recorded music at the shop in Millers Newt Road in Lenzie. All stores will be required to maintain records of alcohol sales and allow these to be routinely inspected, while all drivers involved in deliveries will receive the age verification training, including enforcement of Challenge 25. No objections were received from the licensing board statutory partners and the applications were therefore approved. East Martinshire Health and Social Care Partnership previously requested that stores not allowed to send out orders comprised solely of alcoholic beverages.
Scottish Opera to bring pop-up show to town. Scottish Opera's much-loved pop-up opera tour is coming to Bishopbriggs. Kicking off the summer tour on May 25th, shows for all the family will be showcased across the country, including at War Memorial Hall. That will offer two shows on Saturday, June the 15th. Audiences will be able to catch A Little Bit of Don Giovanni and A Little Bit of the Merry Widow, cleverly rescored by Scottish Opera's former head of music, Derek Clark. These 30-minute shows take opera out of the theatre and into unexpected places, and are ideal for anyone new to the art form who would like to try a taster of these classics by Mozart and Lehár. Outreach and Education Director Jane Davidson told us, "This summer, the Pop-Up Opera Company are touring to schools and community halls across the country with a blend of weekday visits to primary schools and weekend performances in public venues, including at Perth Festival of the Arts, Dumfries and Galloway Arts Festival and St. Magnus International Festival. We journeyed to 18th century Venice with Don Giovanni, presenting a cleverly condensed version of Mozart's ever-popular opera, packed full of dramatic confrontations brought about by Don Giovanni's malevolent scheming, which results in confusion, despair and violence for everyone he meets. We then head to the Parisian Embassy of Pontevedra for Lehár's comic operetta, The Merry Widow, which follows a wealthy woman's search for true love. We are delighted to also present Sophie and Bear, created specifically for 5 to 8 year olds, which gives young minds coping strategies for everyday worries and reminds us we are not alone in facing them. Sophie cannot sleep, her thoughts are worrying, and in the darkness of bedtime everything becomes more confusing. But with her trusty and kind teddy bear by her side, she learns how to take care of herself calmly and not be lost in anxiety. Other venues to host the pop-up are in Perth, Falkirk, Wigtown, Monive, Ayr, West Kilbride, Whiting Bay in Arran, Coatbridge, Shotts, Lochcarron, Ballintore, Helmsdale, and Stromness, and St Margot's Hope in Orkney. In Le Hars de the Merry Widow, a party has been thrown for the Grand Duke of Pontevedra, a poor but fiercely independent little European state. Among the guests is Hannah Glawari, a widow with 20 million francs from her late husband, and the eyes of half of Pontevedra on her to make sure her fortune, by love or luck, stays in the country to boost its fortunes. But at such a lovely celebration full of champagne, good cheer and many waltzes, her heart and hand are not only the only love affairs underway. A little bit of Don Giovanni follows Mozart's famous Casanova from one conquest to the next, but when his seduction of Donna Anna results in the death of her father, has he finally taken things too far? Schoolchildren can also look forward to the tour popping up in primaries across the various locations for free performances of Sophie and Bear, a newly commissioned piece for primary 1 to 4. Have your say on buses. Strathclyde Partnership for Transport are asking commuters to have their say on the future of buses in the area, and that could see bus services being run locally rather than centrally. The transport body have launched a consultation on our recommended options of how to deliver the network in the years ahead. SPT is recommending it takes forward two principal bus reform options from the outcome of the Strathclyde Regional Bus Strategy. Reforms include local services franchising and bus service improvement partnerships, BSIP, as set out in the Transport Scotland Act 2019, with a further recommendation to consider of small municipal bus companies aimed at providing socially necessary services in parts of the region where private operators are currently very limited. SPT Chairman Councillor Stephen Dornan said, "This is an opportunity for everyone to have their say on the future of the bus network across our region. We have heard from a lot of people already about the state of the network and what needs to be done to fix it. This is your chance to formalise your thoughts and help us take forward the best options to help halt the decline in bus services across the west of Scotland. I encourage everyone with an interest in the future of bus services in our area to participate in this important consultation. SPT is seeking to understand the extent that stakeholders and, importantly, the public agree or disagree with the recommended options and the reasons for these positions. The consultation feedback will inform the delivery framework within which the SPT will develop the detailed bus strategy over the next year. This consultation is not statutory and does not represent the commencement of statutory processes for local services franchising or BSIP. To have your say, head to sp.co.uk/about-us/what-we-are-doing/regional-transport-strategy/bus-strategy, or for more information, email rts@spt.co.uk. The deadline for responding is midnight, May the 13th.
Change of use is approved. Councillors have approved the change of use of a building in Kirkintilloch to allow a wellness and education centre to be developed. The application made internally by Eastern Berkshire Council concerned a former office building in Southbank Road, with the conversion work being predominantly in the form of internal alterations, creating new teaching and meeting spaces to allow the relocation of the secondary wellbeing base from Donaldson Street. With the building not being listed or in a conservation zone, planning officers recommended approving the application on the basis that this development would be a modest change and in keeping with existing policies. The new facility would operate with up to 11 staff members and 15 to 20 pupils, thereby not significantly affecting footfall or traffic in the area. No objections from the public were received, and the application was unanimously approved by EDC's planning committee.
Network Rail campaign. Stay safe, stay off the tracks. Trespassing on the railway is illegal and can cause life-changing injuries or death. That's an urgent warning being issued by Network Rail after newly released statistics revealed a worrying rise in people trespassing on the Scotland's railway. Railway trespassing continues to be a huge problem, with the number of incidents rising by 11% and fatalities by 85% in 2023-24, compared with 2022-23. Figures also show that the number of trespass incidents spiked after the clock went forward and the lighter nights begun during the month of April in both 2022 and 2023. With the start of British summertime, Network Rail has launched a campaign to remind people of the dangers. Trains can travel at speeds up to 125 miles per hour. If the brakes are applied, it can take the length of 20 football pitches for a train to come to a complete stop. The electricity used to power the railway, 25,000 volts in the overhead cables and 750 volts in the third rail, is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to touch the electricity sources in the railway to be at risk of harm. Electricity can jump and arc. Innes Keith, Network Rail Scotland, Safety and Environment Director, said, "The railway is an incredibly dangerous environment, and those who trespass are breaking the law and risking their lives. The impact of choosing to go onto the tracks can be devastating, not just for those who sadly end up with life-changing injuries or worse, but for their families and railway staff who can be traumatised by these events. Added to that is a huge cost to passengers who miss important appointments, to businesses whose people can't get to where they need to be, and to the emergency services who have to use vital resources on responding to these incidents. No one wants to see people come to harm, so we're urging everyone to ensure that they and their loved ones stay safe, stay off the tracks." Scotland's Railway will target the country's 8 cities with a series of rails and safety focused radio adverts and a programme of activities designed to educate people about the dangers of trespassing. This is in addition to its ongoing partnership with the Scottish FA, where 140,000 children and youth have already benefited from safety workshops during football camps, with a further 3,600 workshops planned to take place before 2027. Network Rail and British Transport Police run the You vs Train campaign, which aims to educate the public on the dangers present on the railway to deter them from trespassing and keeping them safe from harm. To learn more about the campaign and key rail safety facts, visit www.youversustrain.co.uk. That's www.youversustrain.co.uk. Material suitable for teaching younger children about rail safety in an age-appropriate way can also be found on the Switched On website at switchedonrailsafety.co.uk. That's switchedonrailsafety.co.uk. 13 fatal incidents. It is estimated that trespass and the resulting train delays and cancellations cost the rail industry across Scotland, England and Wales £60 million every year, and the wider economic costs run into the hundreds of millions. The average loss to an employer in Scotland at an average hourly base rate of plus employment costs is £30.60 an hour. This does not include loss of productivity and other important factors. In 2023-24, there were 1,008 trespassing incidents and 24 fatalities, compared with 914 incidents and 13 fatalities in the same period during 2022-23. Network Rail looks after 20,000 miles of track across Britain. Consultation on Scottish areas at risk of flooding. The Scottish Environment Protection Agency is consulting on a review of potentially vulnerable areas to protect communities from future impacts of flooding. The number of homes, businesses and services at risk across Scotland is projected to increase by around 40% by the 2080s due to climate change. PVAs are areas where significant flood risk exists now or is likely to occur in the future, and are used to identify locations where a partnership approach may be required to resolve often complex flooding issues. They inform Scotland's Flood Risk Management, FRM, plans and local flood risk management plans, and become the focus of FRM actions, helping responsible authorities to prioritise investment and coordinate actions to reduce the impacts. Identifying PVAs is an essential part of protecting people, properties, businesses, communities, infrastructure and the environment, with an estimated 284,000 homes, businesses and services across Scotland currently identified as at risk. This winter, SEPA issued a record number of regional flood alerts and local flood warnings to the public. A total of 720 messages were sent between September the 1st, 2023 and February the 16th of this year. The previous record of 714 was set over autumn and winter 2015-16. Siobhan McNulty, SEPA Flood Risk Planning Manager, said, "Scotland is witnessing an increasing number of extreme weather events and flooding presents a growing threat to our communities. It is vital we work together with the partners and communities to identify the areas most at risk, so we can work together to increase Scotland's resilience to flooding. PVAs are the first step in this programme." Since PVAs were first identified in 2011, SEPA has worked with partners, including local authorities and Scottish Water, to plan and deliver actions to manage flood risk. PVAs are updated and published by SEPA every 6 years, taking into consideration past, current and future flood risk from rivers, the sea and surface water. SEPA is now consulting on proposed updates to PVAs for 2024. To have your say by June 24th, visit www.consultation.sepa.org.uk/evidence-and-flooding/potentially-vulnerable-areas.
D-Day Charity Cycle. SSAFA, the Armed Forces Charity, has organised a D-Day Charity Cycle ride starting on the 80th anniversary of D-Day on June the 6th. Participants will visit landing sites such as Sword Beach and follow the Allied Forces routes into France. Historian Christian Woolmar will be accompanying the team and giving talks along the way, including the fascinating part the railways played in the invasion. The cycle event is a fully guided and supported 3-day tour of key sites in Normandy. Team members will have the chance to stand shoulder to shoulder with D-Day veterans and the acts of remembrance during the week of the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings. On June the 6th, they will cycle to Sword, Uno and Gold Beaches. If you're interested in taking part, visit ssafa.org.uk/support-us/challenge-events/cycle/D-Day Ride 2024.
Stars of the Scottish Ambulance Service praised for 10 years of service. The Scottish Ambulance Service's Specialist Transport and Retrieval Service is celebrating 10 years of providing life-saving care to some of Scotland's most vulnerable patients. The Scots Star is a multidisciplinary team of paramedics, nurses, advanced practitioners and doctors, supported by pilots working together to provide specialist care to seriously ill babies, children and adults across Scotland, using specialist helicopters and planes. In 2022-23, ScotSAR provided specialist care for 3,158 seriously ill children and adults, with the air ambulance crews attending 4,527 incidents, an increase of 10% from the year before. Michael Dixon, Scottish Ambulance Service Chief Executive, said, "ScotSAR is an integral part of the Scottish Ambulance Service and is critical to our ability to reach every part of Scotland. I'm delighted to be marking its 10th anniversary, and I'd like to say thank you to our staff who deliver this vital service for critically ill patients across Scotland, often in very challenging circumstances. Among those to use the service is Amy Taylor of Ellen, Aberdeenshire, who said ScotSAR provided an invaluable service to her son, Jackson, who was born 4 weeks prematurely in 2022. Jackson was placed in a ventilator and had to be transported from Aberdeen to Edinburgh with the help of ScotSAR staff, Dr. Mark Worrell, paediatric consultant, and Ashley Day, paediatric retrieval nurse. School teacher Amy said, "These specialists are incredibly skilled. It gave us so much peace knowing that Jackson was being well looked after. I just want to say a massive thank you for how they made me feel on the day. We felt incredibly well supported and cared for. Jackson is a very happy and charismatic wee boy. He has been through more in his little life than some people encounter in a lifetime." Formed in 2014, ScotSAR is a government-funded service delivered through two helicopters and two fixed-wing aircraft, in addition to specialist ambulances and response cars. The service is enhanced by two helicopters provided by Scotland's charity Air Ambulance. It has clinical teams and bases in Glasgow, Inverness, Aberdeen, Perth, and Edinburgh.
Family announcements. Deaths. Gart Shore, James. Peacefully at his daughter's home on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. James Powell Gart Shore, beloved husband to the late Betty, a much-loved father to Alan and Hilary, a cherished and loved grandfather and great-grandfather. Funeral service to take place at Glasgow Crematorium, Maryhill, on Tuesday, April 16th at 2:30 p.m. Family flowers only. Love, Norman. Peacefully at Lilyburn Care Home, Milton of Campsie, on Friday, March 29th, 2024. Norman, former head teacher of Stonelaw High School in Rutherglen, beloved husband of the late Barbara Love, loving father of Margaret, Barbara and David, father-in-law to Michael, Jennifer and the late Scott Muir, a devoted grandfather to Connor, Charlotte, Daniel, Matthew, Megan, Rebecca and Cameron, a loving great-grandfather to Iris, Sasha and a loving brother of Joan. Funeral service to take place at Milton of Campsie Parish Church on Friday, April 26th at 10:30 a.m. Thereafter to Cadder Cemetery, arriving at 11:30 a.m. Family flowers only, please. There will be a retiral collection in favour of Marie Curie. Riddick, Nessie, Agnes, Nee Thompson. Nessie passed peacefully on March 31st, 2024, aged 102 years. Beloved wife of the late John Riddick, much loved aunt and friend, funeral at Glasgow Crematorium, Tresta Road, on Thursday, April 18th at 11:30 a.m, to which all family and friends are respectfully invited. In Memoriam. Scott, Rosemary, April 16th, 2009. Our dearest Mum and Gran, your memory is a keepsake from which we will never part. God has you in his arms, we have you in our hearts. Claire, Colette, Gary, Gemma, and James.
Young musicians keep Ailey's journey alive. Young musicians across Scotland are being invited to apply for funding from the music education charity established in memory of Ailey MacLeod. Ailey's Trust was established in 2018 in memory of the talented 14-year-old musician from the Isle of Barra who died in the Manchester Arena attack in May 2017. Musicians of all genres and disciplines have until midnight on April the 30th to bid to the Ailey MacLeod Memorial Trust for financial support. The Small Grants charity targets its help towards groups and individuals to grow and develop their music tuition capacity and ensure lessons continue to be available to all. Trust support is offered to help young musicians grow in their abilities and confidence as performers. Applications for consideration should be made via Ailey's Trust New Look website at www.aileystrust.org.uk. That's www.aileystrust.org.uk. The Trust supports music education for young people, reflecting Ailey's own love of music and her musical ability and enjoyment as a piper with a local school pipe band. It also manages and maintains a permanent memorial to Ailey in a garden of remembrance and reflection on Barra. Trust founder Suzanne White said, "We want to hear from musicians and groups across the length and breadth of Scotland that feel they need some financial support. So far, we have made over 60 grant payments to wide varieties of groups and individuals, from singers, choirs and pipe bands, to orchestras and brass bands. We are proud of the positive impact that our funding is already having for young musicians across the country, and we are looking forward to seeing the success it continues to have in Ailey's memory. Successful applicants will be informed as soon as possible after the closing date at midnight on Tuesday, April the 30th. The Ailey MacLeod Memorial Trust was established in 2018 with two main ambitions: to establish, manage and maintain the permanent memorial to Ailey, and to enable young people and children across the country to continue Ailey's musical journey. The Trust is a registered charity and undertakes various fundraising and merchandising activities. From the Kirkintilloch and Bishopbriggs Herald, date Wednesday, the April the 10th, 2024, let's talk the letters page. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. And write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Back when the area was flush with police offices, sir, the recent talk of closing further police stations got me thinking of police stations that were there for the public when I joined the police many years ago. I joined Dumbartonshire Constabulary on 27th of January 1975. At that time, there were 32 police forces in Scotland. On May the 15th, 1975, Strathclyde Police was formed out of 8 former forces. I was posted originally to Kirkintilloch. At the time of joining the police, there were many police stations in many areas in and around Kirkintilloch. Most of them combined police houses and offices. There were offices at Steps, Balmore, Torrens, Milton of Campsie, Lennoxtown, Gartcosh, Queenieburn, Banton, Auchinloch, Muirhead, Bishopbriggs, Milngavie, Kirkintilloch and Kilsyth. Kirkintilloch, Bishopbriggs, Milngavie and Kilsyth were 24-hour manned stations. On regionalisation, only Bishopbriggs, Kirkintilloch, Milngavie and the newly built Kilsyth survived. Kilsyth was demolished in 2023. At the present time, Bishop Briggs and Mulgaia are under threat of closure. Steps reopened temporarily as a major incident office due to the local murder in 1978, and Lennoxtown, due to political pressure, reopened only to close later. Yours, etc., Eddie Keane, by email. J.K. Rowling throws down the gauntlet. Sir, Scotland has a new hero, a fearless woman who has principles and stands up for truth and honesty, a tough but fair woman who has the courage to say unequivocally neither the Emperor or Empress is wearing clothes. She's challenged police to arrest her for stating entirely inarguable facts. If the authorities did choose to do so, they would be making the biggest mistake they have ever made. Scotland will become an international pariah, as well as a laughingstock. Even banana republics would have a giggle. How could we ever have reached such an impasse? How could the majority of the electorate have chosen such utter incompetence to run our affairs? Perhaps this will be the catalyst desperately needed for change. Thank you, J.K. Rowling. Yours, etc., Alexander Mackay, by email. Password Puzzler. Sir, there has been a lot of speculation regarding Michael Matheson and his iPad, but much remains unexplained. Hopefully the full release of the inquiry report will clarify one aspect that has puzzled me, namely passwords. My understanding is that this iPad was a Scottish Government one for government business. As such, it will be properly passworded. This raises the question of how it was utilised in order to watch a football match without Mr. Matheson's knowledge. Yours, etc., Philip Ewart, by email. Rebellion. Sir, a rebellion is looming in the Tory party over plans to criminalise homelessness. But who are the rebels, and where have they been hiding? Tory MPs who planned to rebel should have been rebelling at the policies the Tories in government have implemented that have exacerbated homelessness in society. Benefit cuts, austerity, and the largest welfare cut since the 1940s. Those policies are still on the agenda, and shamefully, they're also on Labour's agenda. The Tories are now targeting welfare cuts to finance tax cuts. Where are those rebels on this matter? Yours, etc., Katrina C. Clark, by email. New Mary. Sir, I recently viewed two TV programmes. One was listed as a comedy drama, the other as a criminal gang drama. In both, the use of obscene language was prolific. I wonder what the dramatists of yesteryear would think of this literary device as a means of progressing the narrative, adding emotion or colour, emphasis, etc. I cannot see Shaw, Rattigan, the kitchen sink dramatists, or Chekhov resorting to it. Do the writers of these programmes believe this kind of foul language is common currency among viewers? Do editors consider that revising this content in a programme is outworth their remit? Part of the problem is that many such programmes are streamed before being broadcast on terrestrial channels. With streaming being available to view at any time of day or night, the 9pm watershed becomes irrelevant. Are we in need of a reincarnated Mary Whitehouse to safeguard standards? Yours, etc., Brian P. Donaldson, address supplied. Reader's Charter. This newspaper is built in a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at Kirkie Herald at jnscotland.co.uk. That's KirkieHerald @jnscotland.co.uk.
Red Admirals are taking off. The Red Admiral butterfly had its best year ever in Scotland last year, described as a phenomenal year for the species. It increased in abundance by 224% in 2023 compared with 2022, which was already the ninth best year since records began 44 years ago. The latest result from the annual UK Butterfly Monitoring Scheme, UKBMS, showed red admirals have now increased by nearly 1,000% in Scotland since 1980. Dr. Richard Fox, Butterfly Conservation Head of Science, said, "The Red Admiral had a good year in 2022, but it had a phenomenal year in 2023, and this is part of a long-term trend. The Red Admiral is a migratory species, and what we are seeing across all of the migratory butterflies and moths is a much stronger good year, bad year peaks and troughs than for resident species. While last year was a particularly good year for the Red Admiral in Scotland, the 10-year trend also shows an increase of 166%. Going back to 1980, you can see an overall increase of 998%. It still has ups and downs, but the good years are better than they were in the past, and the bad years are also better. Each spring and through the summer, red admirals migrate north, where the females lay eggs, leading to an emergence of fresh butterflies from July. Butterfly Conservation said, "There is no doubt climate change is the driver behind the long-term increase in the species in the UK." Dr. Fox added, "In the past 25 years, the Red Admiral has gone from being a very rarely seen butterfly in the UK in wintertime to being comfortably our most commonly seen butterfly in the wintertime. Rather than going south and spending the winter in southern Europe, some are now spending the winter in southern UK." The UKBMS, which began in 1976, is one of the world's longest-running insect monitoring schemes. The latest result shows a mixed picture for UK butterflies in 2023, with some soaring while others continue worrying declines. In Scotland, 27 species were monitored across 269 sites. 16 increased in abundance, with 10 in decline, and one showing no change.
Increased payments for child benefit. Millions of families who claim child benefit will automatically receive increased payments from April the 6th. Families with one child will now receive up to £1,331 a year, an annual increase of £83.20, and up to £881 a year per additional child, an additional increase of £54.60. There is no limit to how many children families can claim for. Parents will receive £102.40 every 4 weeks, £25.60 per week, for the first or only child, and £67.80 every 4 weeks, £16.95 per week, for each additional child. Families with ongoing claims do not need to contact HMRC, as the increased benefit payment will continue to be paid directly into their bank accounts. Anyone who needs to update their personal details can do so using the HMRC app or at gov.uk. Parents with a newborn are encouraged to make a claim as soon as possible and could receive their first payment in as little as 3 days.
Good day to you. My name's Philip and I'm going to be reading the church news under the district news from the Kirkintilloch Herald. And we go first of all to Bishop Briggs to Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday the 14th will be conducted by our minister, Ian Taylor, at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cavern Hall after the morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken even during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering place in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. The Sunday School meets in Room 2, where creche facilities are also available. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and on Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, April the 10th, from 10 to 11 a.m. for anyone who'd like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, April 10th as well, from 11:10 to 11:30, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. On Friday, April the 12th, the fundraising group have organised a Taylor Fashions Evening at 7 p.m. for 7:30, priced at £6 in the Springfield Hall. This will include a refreshment on entry in the Cameron Hall, and there will be a fun night with a lucky bag stall and no obligation, that is, of policy, snapping up great bargains. All are welcome. The Guild is inviting the congregation to join them in supporting the Eastern Bartonshire Food Bank warehouse by bringing donations and leaving them in the cupboard in the cloakroom. A list is attached to the cupboard identifying specific items specially requested. So there you have it, all the news from Springfield, Cambridge. And now we stay in Bishop Briggs to Kenmure Parish Church. Please join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. for our morning service. It'll be led by Susan Anderson. You're welcome to join us, both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed, or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows the end of the service. The most up-to-date details of all our groups that are currently running may be found on the WhatsApp, or not WhatsApp, on the What's On section of our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you'd like to join our WhatsApp group now or receive the Bible study notes from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. And now to Kirkintilloch, St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, April the 14th, is a joint service with St David's Memorial Park Church. It will begin at 11 a.m. as usual, and it will be taken by the Reverend Ruth Morrison. Wednesday welcome will continue on Wednesday, April the 17th. Tea, coffee and home baking will be available from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. At 11:30 a.m. a short service will take place. Craft afternoons will resume on Monday, April the 15th. We will continue making poppies to extend the remembrance banner. We'll also continue to knit squares to make shawls for Ethiopian women leaving hospital. On Wednesday, May the 1st, our next open doors will take place. The church will be open from 10:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available all day. Yes, there will be an organ recital beginning at 12:30. A variety of music will be played at our organist, David Burns. Come and enjoy this lunchtime music, and feel free to bring your lunch with you. And now we're staying Kirkintilloch to Home Church Scotland in Lammermuir Road, Kirkintilloch. Home Church in Kirkintilloch also have a sister church in the East End in Carmyle and online, a church for all ages. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And you find that verse in Jeremiah. Sunday, April the 14th, 9:30 a.m. worship service with communion followed by refreshments. And then at 11:30, a worship service with communion followed by refreshments again. So it's two services on the Sunday morning. A warm welcome awaits you at either service, which will be identical. That's the same church service at two different times. Depends whether you want to go up in the morning and feel free for the rest of the day, or have a wee lie-in, go to the second service. But let's not forget their other sister church in Carmyle. Their services are 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Home groups are on Tuesdays, Bible study on Zoom, Wednesdays, now called Boiler Room, in the church at 7:15, except the last Wednesday in the month, which will be a prayer meeting and on all social media platforms. And the youth group meets on Fridays at 7:30. And also home radio is available every day. Yes, you can check out home radio, 100.8 FM, or you can download the app. And if you wish to hear my dulcet tones again, I'm on home radio on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. Check out their Facebook, Instagram and home church website for the latest information for Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. And staying in Kirkintilloch, we go to the Church of God at Regent Hall, Regent Street. On Wednesday, our coffee corner is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over a coffee. On Sunday this week, there will be no Zoom service. However, on the following Sunday at Regent Hall, there will be a good news service at 4 p.m. A warm welcome awaits for all those who come along. For an up-to-date information, check out our services on their website, www.regenthall.org. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that's found in John 10. And then we move back to Bishopbriggs to Cadder Parish Church beside the canal. For full details, see their website, www.cadderchurch.org. We look forward to welcoming you this morning, Sunday, to our morning service. The service will be led by the Reverend John McGregor and our music will be led by Javier Mallow. Welcome. All is welcome. The services are recorded and are available from the church website. Tea and coffee, as usual, will be served after the service. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday and also on Zoom. The next film night is on Friday, April the 12th in the North Hall at 7 p.m. for a 7:30 start. The film showing is One Life, starring Anthony Hopkins and Helena Bonham Carter, based on a true story of the evacuation of children at the start of World War II. Tickets are £5 from members of the fellowship team, Cadder Coffee Shop, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday, 10 till noon. A warm welcome awaits you. And now we move to Lindsay Union Church. Sunday service on April the 14th at 11 a.m. will be led by the Reverend Donald MacLeod. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens up for tea and coffee, home baking every Wednesday at 10 a.m. till noon in the new hall. Everyone from the very young to the young at heart is welcome to attend. And the coffee pot opens again on Friday, April 12th from 10 a.m. till noon in the new hall for teas, coffee and chat. The youth cafe begins again on Thursday, April the 18th at 3:45 after the Easter break. And Messy Church is on Saturday, April the 20th from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the new hall. Everyone is welcome to come along to a fun-filled hour, challenges, crafts and experiments. Whoa, experiments at the church. Yee. And Milton of Campsie. Let's move out there to Milton of Campsie Parish Church. After the business of Holy Week and Easter, we enjoyed a Super Sunday. I believe Super Sunday means soup, led by members of the congregation, followed by a soup lunch. Yes, I was right. Donations were made to the Church of Scotland HIV/AIDS programme. Cafe Connect is on Tuesday. Time to Pray is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, we will join the walk to Emmaus. Send us a pic of yourself on a walk or a run at 12:45 p.m. Tiff, taking it further, will meet in the Eric Liddell Lounge. And if you want to check out that, check out their website. And continued, we'll also look back on our March services. What helped you? What didn't? On Wednesday, April the 17th, our new teams will meet at 7:45. We'll look forward to hearing how the teams tell, teach, tend, transform and treasure are getting on. Advance notice of the next Go Mad Extra Fruitarama, which takes place on Sunday, April the 28th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And there's a great wee church that they do a lot of stuff for the kids there under this Go Mad. And I'm interested to find out what Fruitarama entails. I'm sure the kids and adults will enjoy it. And now we move back to Bishopbriggs, to St. James Church, Hilton Road, Bishopbriggs. Director there is Canon Paul Watson. And there is a communion service in the chapel on Thursday, April the 11th at 11 a.m. And on Sunday, April the 14th at 9 a.m. The 10:30 a.m. communion service with hymns on Sunday is in the church. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. on Tuesday, April the 16th at 1 p.m. There is a Tuesday club. Yes, and you can come along there and meet folks there and enjoy a talk by the Professor James Parrott, retired from Strathclyde University, entitled Faith Over a Lifetime. Part 2, do feel to come along. £3 donation at the door. You'll be most welcome to join us. Check out the Facebook St James the Less Bishop Briggs, the website www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. So there you have it, all sorts of information there. And now we stay in Bishop Briggs to Colston Parish Church. Colston Well Park is open to all, so please feel free to join us on this Sunday at 11 a.m, whether it be for a one-off or you're interested in a change, a warm welcome will be guaranteed. The service will be led by Robert McFarlane. The Reverend Malcolm Kirkpatrick is on holiday, and not because he's away, but after the service there'll be tea and coffee. It's always after the service there. And the Monday Art Club continues after the Easter break, starting at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you're interested, pop along and have a chat or call Ramsay on 07709 584 680. For more information, as usual, check out their community drop-in. And the Colston Park tea break continues on this Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So come along for a good food, good chat and good company. And it's free. Yeah, let's go. The food bank continues its essential work within our community and is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And to all who assist and continually donate foodstuffs, etc., we give you our sincere thanks. The St Columba's Men's Club, although the club meets in the halls of St Columba's Church in Old Isle Road, it is not necessary to be a church member to join. The club, which has been in existence for many years, provides a chance for men to spend a Monday evening in very relaxed company and to participate in activities such as pool, snooker, carpet balls, darts, table tennis and dominoes. Well, I'm sure that covers each of those who are listening who are men. I'm sure we'd all like a wee chance of playing some carpet balls or resurrecting your youth and playing table tennis. Yes, so the membership comes along there, and not only from Kirk and Tulloch, but also from Lindsay, Cumminall, Milton Campsie and Bearsden. The club restarts its 24-25 session at the end of September, and new members are always welcome. So there you have it. That's the church news from the Kirkie Herald. Thank you for listening, and hopefully you'll share, and hopefully there's something of interest to you. If any questions or queries, contact us at Q&A Review. Again, my name's Philip, and it's been a pleasure to share the local church news with you. God bless you.
Bo is a real charmer. Meet Bo, a spirited 4-year-old crossbreed bursting with energy and affection. This sweet girl is brimming with love and is always ready for playtime with her favourite people. Bo's playful nature and affectionate personality make her a wonderful addition to any loving home. She's comfortable around children aged 10 and above and enjoys meeting other polite dogs during her walks. If you're looking for a loyal and loving companion to brighten your days, Bo is ready and waiting to become your new best friend. If you think you could provide a home for Bo or any of the 40 dogs currently available for rehoming, please contact us on 01506 873 459.
Wednesday the 10th of April. District News General. Public Transport is a Public Good, by Ross Greer, MSP. Buses and trains, which are better, cheaper and easier to catch, aren't just good for commuters, they're a critical tool in the fight against climate crisis. Scottish Greens and Government have taken important steps to make public transport more accessible, including the introduction of our free bus travel scheme for young people, the upcoming addition of free bus travel for asylum seekers, and the current special offer to remove peak rail fares across Scotland until the end of June. The Scottish Government's recently published Fair Fares Transport Review will help us go even further, finally making progress in issues like integrated ticketing. This would let you use the same ticket across different modes of transport
and different companies. It also recommends that we run a pilot for flat fares for buses. This comes just after the Climate Change Committee report, which made clear the scale of change still needed in Scotland. Public transport is absolutely key to making that change and reducing our emissions. Some huge progress was made on this locally last week, when Strathclyde Partnership for Transport, SPT, approved plans to establish local bus franchising. Thanks to a Transport Act, SPT are empowered to implement a bus service improvement and partnership. This gives them the opportunity to build and grow a bus network across the west of Scotland, which is accessible and affordable to more people. As it stands, private operators pick all the most profitable routes and leave SPT to use public money to fill in the gaps in services. In effect, we all pay twice to use the bus, once to the private operator, once again through our taxis. In the short term, SPT will have the power to impose minimum frequencies for services and a cap on fares. But we can look to cities like Edinburgh and Manchester for inspiration in the journey towards fully publicly owned bus services. Lothian Buses is considered among the best in the UK, and it's no coincidence that the only publicly owned operator in Scotland. They run the service for the public, not for their own profits. Greens councillors and MSPs want to see a transfer to public ownership much sooner. Tackling the climate crisis in particular can't wait that long. The sooner we remove private profit, the sooner we can improve services for all. Better net worth of pass needed. People are looking forward to getting outside, but a new poll has revealed that 7 in 10 adults would be choosing to walk, run, cycle and wheel places more if there were new or better paths in their local areas. 73% of respondents said they would use active ways of getting around more if there were better paths in their neighbourhoods. The research was conducted for Make Ways, a new citizen project from the social enterprise Slow Ways, to map where new and better paths are needed in Scotland. The public are being invited to contribute to Make Ways by visiting the website www.makeways.org. That's www.makeways.org, and highlighting good ways, bad ways and wishes for new paths. Agricultural support. Further details about the actions farmers and crofters will have to take to receive agricultural support payments from 2025 have been unveiled. The new criteria for support will help farmers and crofters meet more of our food needs sustainably and farm and croft while working to protect nature. As part of the move to the new framework, changes from 2025 include a new calving interval of 410 days measured on an individual animal basis, added to the Scottish Suckler Beef Support Scheme, to help cut emissions intensity and make beef production more efficient. The introduction of the first whole farm plan conditions, which require farmers and crofters to complete two baselining activities from a list of options, including carbon audits, biodiversity audits, soil analysis, the creation of animal health and welfare plans or integrated pest management plans, new conditions for peatlands and wetlands under good agricultural environment conditions, GAEC, of cross compliance to help protect vital carbon stores. Rural Affairs Secretary Marie Goujon said, "As we have said for some time, support for farming in Scotland is changing. From 2025, farmers and crofters will have to deliver new things in return for basic payments. These changes will allow us to continue to produce high quality food and to do so in a way that helps us to tackle climate change and enhance nature. As we continue the transition to a new agricultural support framework, we want to make sure that farmers and crofters know exactly what they need to do to prepare for this change. Through our agricultural reform roadmap, supported with extensive engagement with the sector, we are making sure the sector is kept informed of key updates to future support. It is clear that many farmers and crofters have already begun this journey successfully. I would urge all farmers and crofters to look at the available information, to ensure they are ready for the changes to come.
Maiden Pro title win for Ewan. This article was written by Brian Yule and is being read by me, Corey. Lindsay tennis player Ewan Lumsden won his first title on the ITF World Tennis Tour at an event in Tunisia. Lumsden teamed up with Lac Fomba from France for the first time at the M15 Monaster, and the duo would go on to secure doubles victory. After studying in America, the 24-year-old is following in the footsteps of his big sister, Maya, by joining the pro ranks. There was a shock in the first round as Lumsden and Fomba knocked out top seeds Konstantin Kuzmin and Alexander Labanov. They would then get past Ronald Sturman and Niklas Waldner in the quarterfinal, and Lone Lester and Cyril Vandermeersch in the semi-final. I apologise for butchering all of those names. This set up a meeting in the final with Jordan Chu from the USA and Daniel De Jong from the Netherlands. After losing the first set, Lumsden and Fomba managed to level the match and then won the final set 13-11 on a tie-breaker. Lumsden would also battle his way through three qualifying rounds in the singles, but lost out to Simon Bupain from Belgium in the first round proper. Meanwhile, Maya Lumsden reached the final of the W75 Crozet Bioborg in France, with her doubles partner Jessica Ponchet. After a first round bye, the pair dispatched Diana Maratov and Marine Zotac and then came back from a set down to beat Carmen Corelli and Ivana Corelli in the semi-final. Again, I apologise for butchering names. Lumsden and Ponchet were up against Estelle Castino in France and Alexandra Yela of the Philippines in the final, but would be edged out 5-7, 7-6. Ewan remained in Tunisia for another event, but this time would only reach the quarterfinals of the doubles alongside partner Charlie Robertson, and went out in the third qualifying round of the singles. Maya, who competed at the Australian Open for the first time earlier this year, has returned to the UK to prepare for the upcoming clay court season. That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. East Fife ruin title party for Rosvale. An article written by Tom Freeman and read by me, Corey. Storm Kathleen made it difficult conditions in the Scottish Women's Football Leagues with plenty of goals and an abandonment across the divisions. Rosvale were denied a title party in the nail-biting SWF Championship thriller by East Fife, while Ayr United won big in Inverness to close the gap at the top. In a sensational advert for Scottish third tier, East Fife were quick out of the blocks with an early Wallace goal hit sweetly from the edge of the box. Skipper Terry Skivington nodded the visitors two in front before Rossville's top scorer Megan Whiteford pulled one back. A Thompson goal gave East Fife a 3-1 lead at half-time before Rossville came out fighting in the second half. Whiteford added a second early in the second half, and Amy Allen equalised with 15 minutes to go to set up a grandstand finish. But with Rossville seeking a title-winning goal, an East Fife counter-attack saw the Mercurial Rugby Wilson score in the 89th minute. But the Glasgow side equalised again within a minute after a Stramish in the box to rescue a vital point. Earlier, hat-tricks by Claire Docherty and Paige Henry had helped Ayr United to a 6-2 victory over Inverness Caledonian Thistle, but they will need to score big in the remaining two games to catch Rossvale's superior goal difference, and deny the Glasgow side automatic SWPL2 promotion. In the bottom half, West Dyke ran out 11-1 winners at Hutchison Vale, including 5 goals for Kayleigh Traynor, while Dryborough Athletic grabbed a 3-0 win in Renfrew with goals from Olivia Moffat, Rachel Robbie and Olivia Jones-Burns. The SWF League One tie between Bonnyrigg Rose and Forfar Farmington was abandoned by the referee after less than 20 minutes, due to the high winds, but other games in the division went ahead. Givenock Soccer Centre gained their fourth win of the season with a 4-3 victory over an Airdrie side who had come back to level from 3-1 down. Natasha Reid scored the last-minute winner, direct from a corner in the blustery conditions. Third-place Falkirk beat Edinburgh Caledonian 2-0 at home, while St Mirren beat Dundee West 7-0 at home. That article was written by Tom Freeman and read by me, Corey. Promise and defeat for Tigers. This article is unattributed, but it's being read by me, Corey. Chris Harris vowed there were promising signs despite the opening defeat at Berwick. The Allied Vehicles Tigers went down by 48-42 to the Jewson Bandits at Shielfield Park on Saturday night. There was an early blow with Lee Complin ruled out from the meeting after being deemed ineligible to race by the referee. That meant the Tigers had to race with only 6 riders. Berwick took an early 6-point lead, but Tigers fought back and it was level at 33-33 after Heat 11. Harris was outstanding with 15 points from 6 rides. He said, "There were promising signs. It was tough to lose our winning streak here, but that was always going to happen one day. But there's lots of potential." That article was unattributed, but it was being read by me, Corey. Playoff hopes go down to the wire for Clan. This article is unattributed, but it's being read by me, Corey. Glasgow Clan's playoff hopes will be decided on the final day of the regular season after a 6-3 loss at Guildford Flames. It sets up a nervy final home game with Cardiff Devils on Sunday, with Clan needing a victory to have a chance of staying involved in the post-season contest. After a tense start, Matt Barry and Dyson Stevenson also generated some promising chances for Glasgow in the opening period, but neither could give the visitors the lead. The Flames snatched a late go-ahead goal to take the lead into the first interval when Ryan Hutchies slid the puck past Clan's netminder, Ante Karjalainen. In the second period, the game took a feisty turn when Jordan Klimek burst out of the penalty box after serving 2 minutes to join a Flames attacking move, and charged into Karjalainen. The Guildford man was sent straight back to the box by the officials, who granted the Clan a power play opportunity, which they pounced on as Luke Lynch tied the game up with a redirected shot. Jake Bolton followed up shortly after to flip the scoreline on its head and give Glasgow the lead as he lashed the puck from the blue line straight into the roof of Berman's net. Guildford managed 2 late goals in the second period though as Hughes equalised with 2 minutes left before Bradley Lalonde gave the Flames the lead with just 3 seconds to go. Matt Alvero then doubled the host's lead in the third period before Lalonde bagged his second goal of the night to claim a 5th Flames goal. Felipe Sanchez scored a 3rd for the Clan before the final buzzer, but it was only a consolation as Tate sealed the 2 points for Guildford with a late empty net goal. That article was unattributed, but it was being read by me, Corey. We must battle to get win. This article is unattributed, but it's being read by me, Corey. Scotland defender Sophie Howard has urged her side to be ready to battle in order to achieve their Euro 2025 dream after a stuttering start. Pedro Martinez Loza's side were looking to end their 16-month wait for a competitive victory entering Friday night's game as slight favourites. But in truth, they rarely tested host Siberia during a frustrating goalless draw. Howard said, "We could have given the game away at the end, but showed great character to hold on, put bodies on the line, and just disappointed not to get more. We've not got the chance to go again in a couple of days. It is important now that we recover, but we are ready to battle again." Scotland face Slovakia tonight, Tuesday. That article was unattributed, but it was being read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and to tell your friends about our service.